إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق وما تقوم فيه، فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المتطهرين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, our religion and our deen is comprehensive of all aspects of our life, even those things which we sometimes regard to be insignificant. Although in reality, if a person does something with sincerity to please Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one sometimes cannot regard such a deed as insignificant. One of the things that I would like to concentrate on in today's talk, which sometimes some might regard as insignificant, is cleanliness. And this is an ayat which I have read with regard to it, where Allah Ta'ala says, Allah loves those who repent and Allah loves those who are purified, those who are clean. The ulama have said that here, this meaning, this word, purification, there are two types of purification. One is purifying the heart from attributes like shirk, associating partners to Almighty Allah, bid'at, wrong things, wrong attributes, fisk, fujur, transgression. That is one type of purification, purifying the heart from things that are wrong and evil. But there is also another type of purification which this hadith covers, or this ayat covers, and that is physical purification, both on a personal and a collective level. A Muslim is characterized by both aspects of purity. Not only is he pure in terms of his faith, in terms of his heart, but he is also pure in terms of his physical appearance. Today I want to discuss this second aspect in today's khutbah specifically. What are the reasons why Islam has laid emphasis upon this type of cleanliness? I will give, amongst others, three or four reasons. The first reason is Allah loves those who are clean. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Allah loves those who repent, Allah loves those who are clean. In the 10th surah of the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala says about Masjid Quba, Allah praises the masjid and the inhabitants of the masjid. One of the reasons, فِيهِ رِجَالُوا يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا. Amongst them are people who like cleanliness. Because they like cleanliness, Allah loves them. This is in the Quran. Because they love cleanliness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. And it is also being in a state, we all know that our salat is not valid without wudu. Now, while there is a spiritual dimension to wudu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, on the day of Qiyamah, I will recognize my ummah by the nur that will emanate from those parts of the body that they used to wash in wudu. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day one sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah, how are you going to recognize us on the day of Qiyamah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, just imagine, there is a whole valley of dark horses, and in the midst of those dark horses, there are two white horses. Would they stand out amongst a valley of dark horses, dark brown or dark or black? And the Sahaba said, yes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is how I will recognize my ummah. That the parts that they used to wash in wuzu would shine and I would be able to recognize my ummah. So there's a spiritual dimension with regard to wuzu, but there is no doubt that there is also a physical dimension of being in a state of cleanliness before we come to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, whoever takes a bath on Friday, listen to this hadith very carefully, what an amazing hadith. Then he puts oil on his head, he puts and applies perfume, and he goes for Jummah, does not separate two people who are sitting together, just comes in and separate them all of a sudden, and he remains silent when the imam is making the khutbah. He makes zikr while he comes for Jummah. then that particular type of Jummah will be an expiation of his sins till the next Jummah. In Tibrani there is a hadith that our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said. Now this is purity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, no man spends a night in purity, making wuzu before he sleeps. But an angel remains with him, making dua for him. Oh Allah, forgive him for he slept in purity. This hadith appears in Tibrani Sharif. So one of the reasons why emphasis upon cleanliness, Allah loves it. The second reason is, cleanliness is a pathway to health and strength. And Islam aspires a person and our ummah to be one that is clean and healthy and the one that is strong. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, Allah loves the strong believer better than the weak believer. So look after your health. Because Allah loves a strong person more than what he loves a weak person. And then there's another beautiful hadith with regard to it that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, whoever goes to sleep without washing hands from the traces of impurity, he exposes himself to illness and he should blame no one but himself. There's a very well-known personality, a food technologist by the name of Aubrey Parsons. And he appears on various media and he says, there is so much bacteria and germs around, no wonder Muslims wash their hands so often. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith, barakatu ta'ami wudu qablahu wa wudu'u ba'dahu. The barakah of eating is in washing your hands before and after eating. This is the beauty of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we have to listen to other doctors to understand the beauty of what our Nabi told us. The third thing, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made mention that cleanliness is a prerequisite of appearing in a way which is most beloved to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One day, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was talking about pride, so a person asked, Ya Rasulullah, if I wear good clothes, is that also pride? So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Inna Allah Jameel Yuhibbul Jamal. It is not pride. Allah is beautiful, Allah loves beauty. Allah is beautiful, Allah Ta'ala loves beauty. Nabi Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya Bani Adam, khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. O Bani Adam, take your adornment when you go to the masjid. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala used to be very particular. Every time he go to the masjid, he used to wear the best of clothes, clean himself, put itar. People will say, why do you take so much emphasis? He says, Allah says, whenever you go to the masjid, take your adornments with. خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Obviously, good clothing according to one means. We're not saying that a person must just go irrespective and be extravagant with regard to it. Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has written a very amazing thing. He says, some people feel that adornment is an act of pride. He says, it's not an act of pride. This is groundless, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us beautiful. Allah has created us with adornment. And the eyes yearn to look at things that are beautiful, not haram. Things that are beautiful. Things that are beautiful, the eyes yearns to look at that which is beautiful. Some people feel that wearing dirty clothes is a form of worship, although one can afford better. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw a person who was, dirty clothes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, are you in need of charity? He said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has given me a lot of wealth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if Allah has given you wealth, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَن يُرَى أَثَرَ النِّعْمَةِ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Allah loves to see the effect of that ni'mat upon you. Allah loves to see the effect. Someone asked Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with regard to what type of clothes should I wear? And he gave such a beautiful reply. He said, wear such clothes that neither you invite the scorn of the weak-minded, who will feel, look at you as a matter of scorn because you wear such cheap and ugly clothes. And you also keep away from the blame of the wise, that you wear so expensive clothes that people should look at this person, he's showing off, or he's extravagant. So wear clothes that you keep away from the scorn of the weak-minded and from the scorn of the wise people. Our clothing should be in between. But it is not an act of virtue to wear dirty clothes. This is one thing. Simplicity is not being dirty and unkempt. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day in his masjid saw a person who had disheveled hair, his beard was unkempt. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, go back and go and comb your hair and go and clean your beard up and go and comb it properly. He came back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is this not better than you looking like the devil? This is in Muwatta Imam Malik. Hadith, isn't this better than you looking like a devil? One day Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw a person who was disheveled hair, and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if only, people can wear better clothes and keep themselves tidy it would be much better than them appearing in such a manner. So this third thing, second thing is that it is part of us appearing in a manner that is pleasing to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing is cleanliness and pleasant appearance are of the characteristics which allow relationships to strengthen amongst people. It is amongst the characteristics which allows relationships to strengthen amongst people. The same human being will try to avoid people who are unkept and who have an unpleasant odor. I once had the opportunity of making salat near a person who used to smoke, almost a chain smoker. Wallah, that salat was one of the most difficult salat that I performed. A sane person will keep away from people who have odor, who don't have a proper physical appearance, or whose appearance or the way they are, it gives such an odor that it becomes difficult for the next man to stand next to them. And this is also something that enhances better relationship. Therefore, there is a prohibition in our Sharia on eating garlic and onion and coming to the masjid without allowing the smell to vanish. There's a hadith that appears in Abu Dawud. Nabi Karim SAW had said, whoever has eaten garlic and onion should not enter the masjid until the smell disappears. Until the smell. In fact, the ulama have said, it is written in the books of fiqh, if a person has a permanent odor coming from his body, the mutawallis of a masjid can prevent him from coming to the masjid. And this is no lie. I'm not taking it out from my pocket. This is a clear-cut injunction of our Sharia. Because so much emphasis with regard to cleanliness in our Sharia. The fourth thing is that cleanliness is in keeping with the innate character of human beings. Allah has created us with fitrah, with an innate, beautiful character. And being clean is part of that fitrah with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us with and created us with. So Nabi Karim SAW had said, five things are from your fitrah. Five things are from the innate character and the innate nature with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you with. One of them is circumcision. The second is removing pubic hairs, the hair that is below the navel. Third is trimming the mustache. The fourth thing is cleaning your mouth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therefore emphasized upon cleaning the mouth and he said, As-siwaku mitharatul lil-fam wa mirdhatul lil-rab. To clean your mouth is, what's your miswak, is a means of having your mouth clean and a means of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fifth thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, trimming the hair under the armpits. Five things are amongst fitrah, a part of your innate character with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you with. These are just some of the aspects that I have made mention of with regard to the emphasis why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized upon these aspects. Now with these beautiful teachings, one would think that surely such beautiful teachings, we must be the trendsetters in setting standards of personal hygiene and cleanliness. There is no other religion that gives such detailed commands with regard to cleanliness. Wallah, no one. That you must wash your hands before you eat, wash your hands after you eat, wash your hands before you go to sleep. The moment you get up, before you touch anything. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith, wash your hands before you touch anything. You don't know where your hands wandered around when you were sleeping. All these are in our Sharia. With such details command, surely we must be the most cleanest and people who set standards in terms of personal hygiene. Unfortunate to say, despite these beautiful teachings, we don't present a true picture of our teachings. Much is there to be desired in terms of our conduct with regard to cleanliness and keeping things clean. You go to our toilets, sometimes it is a shame to go after someone goes there. No care with regard to cleanliness. You go to some of our food outlets, and of course we know our area here is known for its food outlets. Sometimes now say no more Fordsburg, now it's Foodsburg. All that is there, you go there on a Sunday morning after a rush of Saturday evening. And you go and see the situation with regard to the roads. You go and see sometimes dirt. Sometimes you see food dumped there. And you see there are so many restaurants. There are other places also which has restaurants. Melville has got many restaurants. Do you see the dirt that you see there on a Sunday morning, the way you see here in our situation? After these beautiful teachings that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi has given us, surely there must be something wrong. You see, our situation today is like a person goes in a restaurant and, you know, he looks at the menu and say wonderful dishes and he hasn't tasted it. Now, how are you going to understand the beautiful days, how beautiful that these dishes are? You haven't tasted it. Now, if we don't practice upon our Sharia, we will not see the results of it. So these are also part of our deen, my dear respected. I'm not taking this. All these are matters that are made mentioned by Allah in His Quran and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in His Hadith. And sometimes we feel as if cleanliness is not our standard, it's someone else's standard. As Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi wrote a very amazing thing. He says a non-Muslim Englishman became he reverted, he became a Muslim. So he came to the masjid, he found it very dirty, so he told the people, let us clean it. So when he started cleaning the masjid and the wuzukhana, one musalli, he said, Mufti Shafi Sahib said, I know about it. One musalli said, this Englishman became a Muslim, but there is still traces of Englishness left in him. As if cleanliness is a trait of them and not of ours. And then Mufti Taqi Sahib makes an amazing point on this. He wrote this in his editorial in the last Al-Balagh, which is a periodical which comes out from Darul Uloom Karachi. He said, our cleanliness is far more greater than the cleanliness of the non-Muslims. Because we've got two things. We've got nazafat and taharat. We've got cleanliness outer and inside. Whereas they only got outer cleanliness. Inner cleanliness they don't have. It is our Sharia. Make istinja after you relieve yourself. Now their situation is, if they spark water in the toilet, they find it very difficult. But napak urine touches they close, it's not difficult. But for us, there is taharat and nazafat. Nazafat is outward cleanliness. Taharat is inner cleanliness. We've got both. And if we've got both, then why shouldn't be that particular situation be showing in our personal and collective life? Other than we are not practicing upon what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. So this is of great importance, and I feel that some people might regard it as insignificant, but it is part of our Sharia. And it's important that we start rectifying ourselves and putting in practice the teachings of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our life, both individually and collectively. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين